Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guests tonight, Donald Krudzma, always a pleasure to talk to him, world-renowned authority on birdsong, and professor emeritus of ornithology at UMass Amherst, and Nenya Masilu, illustrator and designer, and we're talking about their new book, Listen to the Birds. Both of you, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Don, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Good to hear you, Mark.
Now, Lenya probably has done this before because it sounds like she's done these augmented reality books before. But this was amazing, Don. You've used QR codes in your books before, but this is a step up.
Oh, it's a huge step up, this augmented reality. I had to look it up in the dictionary to see what it was all about, but boy, Lena and her buddy Johan have really stepped it up here.
Well, how did you two connect up? Lena, you want to talk about that?
Actually, it was a huge coincidence because my... maybe you know that first I did an augmented reality book with birds from Europe.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, in 2018, my husband was working in a big non-profit called Global Fishing Watch, and he happened to work there with Donald's son, David. And that's how we got connected, totally by coincidence. I had the incredible luck to meet, virtually, Don, and he was really interested to go on this crazy project, so we were very grateful.
It may sound crazy, but I'll tell you, it works. Whenever I saw it, I would say
the luck was all mine to join up with Lena and Johan.
Well, first of all, you make a great pair, triplets or whatever. But Don, this puts a new sort of level for your books because you've used QR codes extensively in books before, but now it's like I want to see the whole thing. I want to see the movement. I want to see the bird singing, the whole nine yards.
Can I confess that for the past half hour I've been sitting here playing with this book?
You know, me too. I have the QR code right on my iPhone right here. First of all, let's explain to people what happens. This is a guide. Is this for young people or for people of all ages?
Yes.
Lenya, how do you feel about this? Is this a young people's book or all people's book?
Yeah, I believe that... all grown-ups were young people once, and we all are, we have all this inclination to go towards illustrations and colorful books, I think. And so it's primarily for children, but I think that everyone can use this book to step in the world of ornithology. I think it's less maybe impressive than specialized filed guides, so I hope it can help everyone to know better birds.
Well, I'll tell you that my reaction is I wish all the field guides were like this.
Well,
someday maybe. Yeah, Lena and Johan are leading the way.
They really are, and let's talk about Johan and what he does. Lynn, you want to talk about that?
Yes, Johan is my partner. We worked together for many years in augmented reality project. So we have this little company of just both of us. And he's an interactive developer. That means he's doing all the programming and coding. And he's the one who makes that the magic works and the application works and that you can download it and install it and then it animates the book. So he's... all with the technical aspect of the project.
Now, in order to get the most out of the book and make it work, you just need to download a simple app. And Don, can you address that?
Oh, there's a QR code. We love the QR codes. ancient technology. But there's a QR code in front of the book, and you aim your smartphone or tablet or some kind of smart device at it, and you're instantly introduced to downloading this app. And And with a few simple instructions there, before you know it, you're aiming this phone at the book, and these birds just jump off the page, and more people than I can count have said that just there was a shriek of joy from an adult or from a child even to see these birds singing and moving and right before their eyes.
You're looking at your iPhone, and that's where it all comes alive. I didn't realize that the movement was going to be there, and when I did, it was just it freaked me out. I screamed too. Lenya, you've done this before. Your first augmented reality children's book was Chouette.
Yes, you did your homework. Very good.
So what? Tell me about that book.
Well, Chouette means owl, and in French. But it's also an expression that means great. So it's a play on words that's impossible to translate. So Chouette is a tale, an illustrated book for children from age 3. And you follow a little owl that one night finds some red glasses in front of her door. And it's a very shy owl that never gets out, but this time, to find the owner of the glasses, she will have to go out and cross the forest and meet a lot of scary animals and everything. So it's kind of a when you encounter things for the first time. I don't know how it's called in English. Well, it's a tale to grow up, and I had this idea of making it augmented with technology because I come from this background. And so you can hear the story being read by a comedian, and you can see the character of the book getting animated and interact with them and so on. So it was a big success. Because it was translated into many languages, except English, I'm sorry to say.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
You can read it. But later I found that maybe our children were already a lot behind screens, and that maybe it was better to use screen time for educational purpose.
Is that when you wrote Écoute les oiseaux?
Sorry?
Is that when you wrote Écoute les oiseaux?
Yes, Écoute les oiseaux, yes. Which is listen to the birds, in fact.
Right, and is that the birds that are in this book are obviously European birds? Like your app, the app that both of you use, I noticed is a great tit from Europe, right? Which luckily is not a life bird for me.
Later, I began this project about birds by coincidence also, and by that time I have thought a lot about technology and screen time for children, etc. And I was getting to the conclusion that learning bird songs through a book was possible only with the help of audio.
Yep.
It can be audio book, like with a button, and you push it, and you can hear the song, or a CD, or anything technological, which will add sound to the book. So my opinion now is that this is a better use of screen time for children.
And for adults. Don, Listen to the Birds is really wonderful. First of all, it's broken up into an eastern section and a western section. It must have been incredibly tough for you to choose what birds to put in there.
Oh, yes, you can imagine. You have a big chart of all the birds listed. You want the most charismatic. You want the prettiest ones. You want the ones with the best songs. And you need widespread birds.
So I know.
Almost anywhere you are in eastern North America, for example, you can find these 20 birds that we featured. And I think in the end we came up with a pretty good mix.
And it's also set out as if the reader is taking a hike. And so you're going through sort of suburban, then edge habitat, then into the forest, and out. And that was really enjoyable. That was really – so you were along for the hike.
Yes, that I love this hike. I take it in my head often, and you know, a book is a synthesis of ideas from so many people. And then initially, we had, you know, like a typical field guide, we had each bird isolated on its page.
Yeah.
And our wonderful agent Regina Ryan said, "You know, what if we took the readers on a walk?" And bingo, here we are.
Now, Lenya, were you familiar with these birds, or did you have to learn them?
Yes, totally. No, I was not familiar at all with all these birds. Maybe the only one I knew, apart from the hawk, was the red cardinal because Angry Birds. But I must say that's all.
I just realized what you said. Really? That's the only way you knew it was from Angry Birds?
Yeah, I learned from Don that it's a very popular bird in America. But I didn't have any idea. I'm beginning to be pretty good with European birds, but I discovered many of the new birds. And you were speaking about choice, and it was a very tough negotiation. And just to say that there are 20 birds in the French book and that we have almost 40 in the American book. So Don won a lot in this negotiation. But it's true that the United States are big, too.
Now, Don, as I fully expected from you, you're never going to let an opportunity like this go by without cramming it with information, because people need to learn about birdsong. You're on a mission. Your entire life has been about learning about birdsong. And I am amazed about all the information that's in this book, including stuff that I didn't know. And I'll come right out and say it. I never knew jays anted. I have seen tanagers anting, and I've seen green woodpeckers in Europe anting, but I never saw jays anted before. And I kept coming across information I was not familiar with, and I want to thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Yes. I guess the old retired professor never quits trying to teach people.
I'm surprised you don't hold a Sunday service about birdsong every day, every week. It is amazing, the information that I found in this book. You talk about things like, and I thought, well, these are really complicated or complex topics. But then I thought, if you learn them early, they're not complex at all, about countersinging. Talk about countersinging.
That's a lovely word, isn't it?
I love it.
Well, you've got two birds, and especially the songbirds, and if they have learned the same songs, then they have a repertoire. They have multiple choices as to which particular song to sing. It is absolutely amazing. Listen to cardinals or titmice, the best examples. You listen to one bird singing, and in the distance, you hear another bird singing the exact same song.
Huh.
And they might switch to another song in their repertoire and do the same thing there. Or a male and female cardinal, all having learned the same songs, can match each other. She sings from the nest, he sings nearby, and you listen to this back and forth where they've chosen the exact same song to sing. It's pretty magical what you can hear once you really start to listen.
In Australia, and this is the first time it happened to me, I heard whipbirds where one of the pair starts the song and the other one finishes it seamlessly.
Yes, it's beautiful.
And now, that's not called countersinging, is it?
Oh, I suppose you could call that duetting. We humans try to pigeonhole these different interactions with different words, but sometimes it doesn't work. It's the male and female interacting in fascinating and complex ways.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. My guests tonight are Donald Kruidsma, always a pleasure to talk to him, world-renowned authority on birdsong and professor emeritus of ornithology at UMass Amherst, and Lenya Masalu, illustrator and designer. And together, they have put out this extraordinary book called Listen to the Birds, where all you have to do is download a simple app and the birds will come alive and sing. An absolutely amazing book. Lenya, talk to me about how you made a choice. What birds did you choose for the European version?
We worked with an ornithologist in France, too. I don't have any knowledge about birds initially. So we worked with a French ornithologist, and he, like Don, it was very hard for him, but he made a list of 20 birds, and that's how we made the choices.
And you were not familiar with those birds either, so did you have to go and research images of the birds in order to paint them?
Yes, of course. Pictures, images, and videos for the animation of the birds. So, yeah, of course, there was a big documentary work before beginning to draw.
Now, your paintings are perfect for beginners to look at because they're bold and the colors have been simplified. Talk to me about your artwork. I've seen other examples of your artwork. You like to work in a very bold graphic style.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I guess I have many influences. Well, first, both of my parents are painters, artists.
Oh, nice.
So I guess I had influence at home from a very long, long time. And then I chose to study graphic arts, and I have a very strong, adherence for patterns, craft work. All that implies a very repetitive work and very minutious work. Also, I really love biology and all the botanical art. I'm a big fan of William Morris Art and Craft Movement.
Yep, yep.
So that's, I think, anything of these influences shows in my work. And yes, I had to find the perfect, well, at least I tried to find the perfect balance between the scientific illustration you find usually in bird guides and something more artistic and simplified for children and also for everyone. Yep, that's it.
How long have you been doing artwork, ever since you were a child?
Oh, yes. I've been drawing forever, but...
well, wait a minute.
Sorry?
Not forever, not since Cro-Magnon times.
Well, I was drawing since I was a child. Obviously.
Thank you. So did you always draw in this kind of graphic style, or is that something you eventually evolved into?
Actually, it's hard to tell because I did a big pause. I studied graphic design, and then I began working in companies and everything, and I didn't draw for many, many years, and it all came again later. Like a few years ago, I felt like really I needed to go back to drawing and painting. So I almost didn't paint between my childhood and when I began with my first book a few years ago. So I don't know what happened.
What kind of paint do you like? Are you doing with a computer, or were you doing it with?
No. I'm working as a graphic designer, so I spent already all my days in front of a computer, so it was like one of the very tough conditions for me to work on this illustration project. It had to be with painting and pencils, because if not, I wouldn't have found the pleasure in it. So it's all gouache and acrylic.
Nice. Now, Don. Don?
Yes, I'm here.
We could talk about the contents of this book from now until doomsday. But here's one thing I learned, that red-eyed vireo, there was one vireo that sang 22,197 times.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm not surprised, but I have to know, it wasn't you that measured it, was it?
No.
Okay, I imagined it was you.
It was Louise, and I forget her last, I can't pronounce her last name, up in Canada. She just spent a day with a vireo.
What an amazing thing to do.
Yes, it is. Instead of saying there's a vireo and running on to the next bird, just saying, I'm going to spend a day with this one bird.
Wow.
It's a marvelous thing to do.
Wow, what an amazing thing to do. Now, I was completely unsurprised by your inclusion of the northern mockingbird, because if there is ever a bird that really sort of symbolizes Don Cruz, but it's the Northern Mockingbird.
Oh, you know, the Mockingbird, and the sounds that we have illustrated, too, they show the beautiful mimicry. But
yeah.
Even better, I think, the close relative of the Mockingbird, the starling, where
yes.
We have a recording where the bird mimics two species simultaneously using its two voices. There is true magic in this bird song.
The best thing I ever heard a mockingbird sing was a Virginia rail call.
Oh, yes.
Now, you also bring in, and I couldn't believe that you're always the educator, but you actually are introduce spectrograms to this audience, which is listening with your eyes. Could you explain spectrograms for people?
Oh, yeah. Spectrograms, the modern word. I still call them sonograms.
Yep.
We got to go with spectrograms. It's a visual musical score for birdsong. It's very little different from the musical scores that we use as humans. It's frequency or pitch on the vertical axis, and you read left to right. And, you know, for those of us who look at these spectrograms, it's the combination of seeing and hearing that really brings these songs to life. We can listen and listen and listen and ask ourselves, oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? But then you see a picture of the song. You say, oh, I see what I'm supposed to hear. And it's the eyes and the ears and work together. And, you know, I have said at times that I hear with my eyes, and there's a lot of truth to that.
Can you read sonograms and therefore understand them musically? Auditorally, I should say, not musically.
To some extent I can read them, but often what it is, we're just comparing one sonogram or spectrogram
right.
with another, and
right.
we humans are very good at comparing different shapes. And,
well, also,
and
our
sizes.
Hearing, our range of hearing does not include all the sounds that a bird makes.
This is true, but for the most part, the sounds that hummingbirds, for example, get way up there. But for the most part, thankfully, these birds sing in a range that we are quite good at hearing.
Now, I noticed you included Anna's hummingbird in this book, which I thought was very cool.
Yes. You know, there's a little-known fact that on my website, donaldkreutzmann.com, we have a whole lot more listening. And there you can go to an Anna's hummingbird, and we start to slow the song down. And then you hear all the tiny little pips and squeaks and screeches that this bird is doing.
Now, Lenya, is there any plans of doing more augmented reality books like this?
Actually, we are at the moment discussing with a French publisher to go on and start a collection. And the plan for the moment, nothing is signed, so I cannot say anything, but I hope we will have a new book by 2 years about the birds of the cities. So, yes,
oh, wow.
I'm hoping to go on. And I just wanted to add something about the spectrogram, because I discovered this graphic visualization of a sound when I began to work with birds, and for it helps a lot to memorize, because the goal of this of the application, which goes with the book, is to help people learn and memorize bird songs. And really, for people who, like me, are really, really bad at memorizing sounds, I think that a visual help like this is very, very helpful.
Hey, Don, you know, as Lenya was talking about birds of the city, I could see a series of sort of location things in a book. Like, I would love to have heard and seen birds in marshes and ponds, or birds in the city, or birds in the desert. It would be cool.
Think the potential's unlimited here, and Lena and Johan certainly have laid the groundwork.
And what about you? I'm trying to get you committed.
I'm not sure where this is going. I've been working frantically on another project for a couple of decades and hope to finish that soon. But
can you talk about that or not?
Oh, I've been fascinated with warblers.
Oh, God.
50 species in North America, and I need the ultimate experience with each one of these species, standing there in the dark, waiting for them, following through the dawn chorus and into the day, and and trying to understand this these butterflies of the bird world, these warblers. So it's a massive project, and I'm not sure we'll ever see the light of day.
Oh, please. I find warblers just outstanding. And the song of warblers, some of it is so incredibly variable from one bird to the next. I think there are regional variations, but then there are also just local individual variations that are amazing.
And what is so special is they have different songs that they use during the dawn chorus and later in the day.
Yep.
Different songs for males, different songs for females, and it's just an exciting group.
Oh, just looking at blue-winged warblers and golden-winged warblers and the hybrids and the stuff that they sing at different times and stuff like that, it's amazing to me.
Yep.
What's your favorite warbler song?
Oh, my. My favorite warbler song.
Lena, I'm going to ask you the same question of what your favorite bird song is, but let Don wrestle with this.
Oh, 50 species just
come on.
Through.
Come on. You're on the line here.
All begging for attention. Let's go with Please, Please, Please to Meet You, the
Chestnut-Sided
Warbler.
Yes. Lena, what's your favorite bird song in Europe?
Oh, in Europe?
Well, you can pick North America if you want, but I thought it was only fair to ask Europe.
I haven't thought about this, but I think that I like very much the song of the blackbird.
The European blackbird, which is a thrush. Yeah.
No, it's not a thrush. It's a blackbird.
No, it's a blackbird with a yellow bill.
No, it's all black. And then he has orange beak and around the
John, isn't that in fact a thrush?
Yeah, it's the close relative of our North American American robin.
It's not so.
Yeah,
Lena, it's in the same family as the song thrush and the missile thrush. But see, here we call icterids blackbirds, and that's a whole different group of birds. But I love those blackbirds that you have in Europe. They're pretty incredible.
They are phenomenal.
Hey, you know what? I just thought I would like one of these books done on insect song, too. And we're completely out of time. My guests tonight have been Donald Kreutz, a world-renowned authority on birdsong, and Professor Emeritus of Ornithology at UMass Amherst, and Lena Mazilou, illustrator and designer. And together they put together this incredible book called Listen to the Birds. Sincerely, really picked this up. Don and Lena, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Great. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.